you'd like to read with me, I'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter and the first three verses. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, Paul writes, "And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Is faith good? Yes, it is. For Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. Is hope good? Yes, it is. For Paul writes in Romans 8 in verse 24 and 25, and it reminds us that in hope that we are saved, a hope that is expectant of a God's great outcome. Is love good? Absolutely. Just as love defines the essence of God, it is also what defines our Christian walk with others. John 13, verse 35. These three virtues describe our response to God's calling. We walk, we abide in, and we live out our faith, hope, and love. They define us in a way that few other words defined a Christian to an unsaved world. And they become the hallmark of our walk. You know, I have spoken many times at a lot of funerals. And there are times that I learn more about a person after they have passed from talking with their family than I knew about them when they were alive. In those times, I was saddened to realize how much I did not know about the people that I cared so much for. My role that day is to talk about the life of the one who has gone on before us and to help the family to remember some of the good times and to walk with him during the painful parting. The graveside. But what about encouraging the living by sharing with them and others the good that they are doing? You know, it's so very easy to have negative gossip. But what about consciously deciding to have a positive conversation to someone or about someone concerning their spiritual life? The Apostle Paul does exactly that in the beginning of his letter to the church at Thessalonica. Let's look again at verses 1 and 2. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, I wanted to start with this because I think it is so important for us. As most of you know, the word church means the called out. It is the assembly of the people. And we need to be Christians only and to follow the truths that are laid out in the Bible. We are people who have been called out from the darkness of sin and into the marvelous light of God. That should be us. You know how such a church is seen. Paul opens his letter by talking about the reputation of the church at Thessalonica. In verse 3, Paul says here, "Remembering without ceasing your work and faith, labor and love, and patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our Father." Faith, hope, charity, love. The faith that Paul is so happy to write about is not what they believe, but how they put their trust in Christ into action. It is faith in action. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it reads, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." This congregation here in Malden has work that is produced and has been produced by our faith and what we believe. This congregation is generous to many spiritual causes. From supporting the mission work around the world and in our own country, to help keep the doors of two congregations open so that the word of God in those areas would never be extinguished. That mission and the benevolence is the work of faith. In this church here in Thessalonica, they had put their faith into action. And they have the reputation of doing good. And I believe that people like Jason, who is mentioned in Acts chapter 17, who opened his home to Paul, filled that church and the city of Thessalonica. And they knew, that city knew this group of people. And that group of people turned the world right side up and did it with love. You know, we always talk about turning the world upside down, but we turned it right side up. The second area that Paul bragged about concerning these new Christians is the phrase, labor of love. And while labor and work are synonymous, Paul uses a word that is connected to toiling, can actually be painful, or at least difficult. So when is love painful or difficult? It is often when we are called upon to love our enemies. Paul, more than anybody else in the New Testament, other than Jesus Christ himself, could understand a labor of love. Because he physically endured beatings and imprisonments at the hand of others for what? For sharing the good news of Christ. And for a church to have a reputation of laboring to love speaks highly of their faith. These are all Roman provinces. that Paul established these things too. And all of these provinces worshipped their idols and Caesar. For all intents and purposes, they were enemies of the Christian faith. And yet, the church here loved them all and strived to do what they could. Here was an established congregation that was ministered to by Paul. But there was also another congregation that was established and ministered to by Paul and probably also John. Listen to what Jesus says about the church or to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Verses 2 through 5, Jesus says, I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you can't bear them which are evil and how you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not and have found them liars and have borne and had patience and for my name's sake had labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and will remove your candlestick out of this place, except you have repented. They had faith. They had endurance. But they lost their first love. Love is not easy to maintain. We labor here as a congregation to love one another. And I don't say this negatively, but some of us are more difficult to love than others. I know that I can push some buttons, but I also know that I'm loved. My actions are not always appreciated, but who I am as a member of this congregation is never questioned. I have been the recipient of a love that is patient. And that brings us to the last area in which Paul brags on these Christians. The NIV translates the phrase patience of hope as endurance inspired by hope. And as we can see in James chapter 6, we see also here in the Thessalonians. The Christians, they wanted Jesus to come, and they wanted him to come soon. But you know, how you wait for something shows your character. These brethren here in Thessalonica were enduring their time because they knew without a doubt that Jesus was coming for them. Having an assurance of your salvation, the confidence of grace, the grace of Jesus is powerful. Some put their trust, their hopes in chariots, but we put ours in the name of the Lord our God. I think I can speak for all of us here when I say that we may not have a great day every day, But we know that if we live this life in holiness, that we will have a great eternity. And that beats today. For 8 years, Admiral James Stockdale was a prisoner of war. He was shot down over Vietnam, North Vietnam. And he was taken to the infamous Hanoi Hilton. On a regular basis, because he was a commander of a fighter squadron, he was tortured mercilessly for his information. He had no rights as a prisoner. There had been no time set for his release. And there was absolutely no certainty that he was going to survive. He was, at that point, the highest ranking officer, which put him in command of the other prisoners. And he felt the burden of leadership, but he did not break down under the stress. He had set up rules to help his men deal with the torture. He had set up an elaborate communication system for those who were confined into solitary that they could communicate, because he knew and understand that we are not creatures who like to be alone. He didn't want his men to feel isolated. Because of his actions, he received the Medal of Honor upon his release. The time of his capture, he was a commander. The time he retired 33 years later, he was an admiral. When he was asked how he persevered, he said, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted. Not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event in my life." But he also spoke about a couple of other men who kept this sense of hope to another part. "Oh, we'll be out of here by Christmas. We'll be out of here by Easter. We'll be out of here by the end of summer." They did not survive. They were looking for an out and not dealing with today. He knew he would prevail because he took things as they came. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Christ the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What ground are you standing on today if you have not obeyed the gospel? Where is your hope built on? For the Christian, the hope is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And your hope can be built on that. You obey the gospel message. Wouldn't it be great, and many here have already done it, have died. They were buried. They were resurrected, and they became a new creature. See, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Through repentance and confession, you too can be buried. You can die today to the old life that you lived. You can be buried, and you can be resurrected again through that watery grave of baptism and begin a new life. I pray that will be your desire today, to obey the gospel. But if you are a Christian, Is your hope still on that solid rock? What defines you as a Christian? If there's something that you need to make right between you and God, if it's a personal nature, go to Him in prayer and ask for forgiveness. But if it's something that needs to be done publicly, we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you just need our prayers to help you deal with a difficult time. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.